on Hebrews 11 again. Now this one verse, and I've been trying for the past few weeks to in some degree define what faith is. Now some people would, of course, go to verse 1, and it does explain to us what faith is there. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The thing about it is, in other words, faith is its own substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Somebody says, prove what you believe. I don't have to. I believe it. God says it. I believe it. It's proof enough.
Yes, sir.
People, you know, they want it. They want to have hope, but they want that hope now.
Yeah.
And Paul said, hope that is seen is not hope.
Exactly.
If a man has what he hopes for, why does he yet hope for it? It's like that billboard I read one time. It said that hope was everlasting. No, not just everlasting. It said hope is eternal.
Yeah.
And I hope that ain't true. Because if hope is eternal, that's all I ever have is hope. And I'll never see what I hope for.
Yeah.
See, I'm hoping for certain things now, and one day they will come to pass. And when they do, Jack, I don't have to hope for them no more. I got it.
Yes, sir.
Hope will give way to having the thing promised. Sadly, what I need to interject right here is most people's explanation of what faith is stupid. That's what it is. They have no idea of the truth of God. It is true, because Scripture says so. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This defines to us what faith is in its divine character. And you remember the source and the nature of faith? Faith is far beyond our ability to understand as a human creature in all that it is, because faith is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Faith is not what I have. Faith is what God has given me.
Amen.
That's the more appropriate statement.
That's it.
I mean, even when our Lord said to that one woman, thy faith hath saved thee, mm-hmm. That faith was hers only as a gift from God.
Amen.
This is why grace is as it is. Grace is that free, undeserved, unearned, unmerited gift of God.
Yes.
This is why that songwriter John Newton wrote that first verse, at least as we have it here, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Now as a regular Baptist of many years ago, when I was raised up under the more modern regular Baptist faith, we used to sing that song and had no idea what John Newton meant when he wrote that verse.
Exactly.
John Newton, being an old Presbyterian and having read some of his writings, Mason, I know what he meant when he wrote that verse. The reason John Newton wrote, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, is this. Grace is particular.
Yes, sir.
God gives only some people grace.
Amen.
He does not give everyone grace.
That's right.
That's why it teaches you to fear.
Yeah.
If I ever have it, God's got to give it to me. There's nothing I can do that will cause God to give me grace. Yes, we're talking about faith. This world, this religious world, so-called Christian world, says, well, if you'll just believe, God will give you grace. That's not what the book says. The book says, according to Acts chapter 15, that it takes grace to believe.
Amen.
You don't believe to get grace. You believe because you've been given grace. You know what that does to me? That shuts me up completely to God's sovereign mercy. That lays me helpless in the dust. I can do nothing to gain God's favor. We'll do nothing to gain God's favor. And everything I would try to do to gain God's favor is said by the prophet Isaiah to be what? Filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
We oftentimes lose sight of that, I think. Because what Isaiah is actually saying is even our. Now, that's how he begins it. Even our. Now, if I was to sit here to you and tell you, well, I presented to God my drunkenness or fornication or theft or lying, if I present that to God for him to accept me, I would say, everyone here would say, you're a fool, right? God's not going to accept that kind of thing. But that's not what Isaiah's talking about, is he?
No.
Isaiah says, even our righteousnesses
Amen.
Are as filthy rags in God's sight. Mm-hmm. You see, the best I have to offer to God, God sees it as the throwaway, the cast off. It's amazing. Now, faith, and this is to go over this, what we've already looked at briefly, very briefly, faith has Christ himself as its source. And maybe, if God's pleased, at a later time, I have more to say about this, and you may hear this phrase again later. But I want you to think about this. This is a phrase I've been thinking about since I talked to Earl and to Mason on the phone this past week. Abraham had faith for 100 years. That's right there about. Right? Abraham had faith for 100 years. And it is even said in Hebrews chapter 11, where we are, that Abraham, that of Abraham as well as others, he died in faith.
Yes, sir.
The thief on the cross had faith, but for moments.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Didn't he? I mean moments. And yet it could be said of him. What? Just like Abraham, who had it for 100 years. He died in faith.
Amen.
Huh? Now here's the thought. I can imagine that thief's hometown. I don't know where he's from. The scripture doesn't tell us, does it? We're not told where either one of those two malefactors came from. But I can just, even if he was from Jerusalem, it really doesn't matter. I can imagine these folks knowing, here he is. He's getting his due. Right? And especially if his hometown was somewhere far off, Joe, he'd been caught. The Roman government now is crucifying him up on that hill.
Yep.
Now somebody in that hometown looks at somebody else who knew this thief and said, well, where do you think he's at now? They put him to death today.
Yep.
Now what would they have said? What would they have said, Earl? Well, he went to hell.
Yeah.
Right? God, he died as a thief.
Yep.
He died under capital punishment. Right? But you know where he went when he died under capital punishment, don't you? Our Lord himself said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
God saves sinners.
Amen.
And he saves sinners when he's pleased, as he's pleased, and he saves who he's pleased.
Amen. That's it.
Faith is what God gives. And God knows if he give it or not. Doesn't matter where I see it or not. So, faith has Christ as its source. That thief hung there on that cross, and according to the writers, at first he along with the other railed on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't just a good guy gone astray. He was hanging there under capital punishment, and along with another malefactor was mocking the Lord of glory hung right beside him.
Yes, sir.
But something happened. Something changed, didn't it? You know what changed? That very Christ he was mocking. While he was mocking him with the bitterness and the hatred in his heart of the Christ himself, that Christ did what for him? Gave him faith.
Yes, sir.
And something happened. And all of a sudden he began to tell the other thief, whoa, wait a minute, we're getting what we deserve. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. Where do you think he got that from? Everybody around him was accusing him of everything.
Oh, yeah.
This was a revelation from God Almighty Himself. And that thief who had once railed on Christ looked at Christ and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now somebody said, "That ain't fair." You're right. It ain't fair.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is not by fairness. It's by grace.
Amen.
And someone says, "But how can that be? I've lived a good life, and I've did what's right, and I obeyed my parents. I've tried to walk a clean, straight path. You telling me that unless God does something for me, I may go to judgment, condemnation?" And Christ took that thief to paradise? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. That's His business.
Yes,
sir. He calls these people His bride. He will marry who He wants to.
That's exactly right.
You don't force yourself on Him.
Yeah.
And He's not out for the highest bidder.
No.
No. You see, God is always the object of faith.
Yes.
He's always the object of faith. According to this same book, Hebrews chapter 11, that's that the other verse, the one we've been looking at, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Now what does it mean, believe that God is who He says He is? It doesn't simply mean that to believe that God exists, but to believe that God is who He says He is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Now again, I say God is always the object of faith, which one must have to please God. The problem with us, and there's a place for it, because James even speaks of it. But James is talking about people who brag on their faith,
but
have nothing in life to back it up. But the problem is, there are other people who demand of you, "You prove to me you have faith."
Yeah.
And if somebody tells you that, you just tell them, "Get off my back. I owe you nothing."
Yeah.
You know, that kind of attitude, you owe them nothing.
That's true.
You see, without faith, it's impossible to please. Who you wanting to please? God.
Amen.
We're not trying to please men. These people come and they seek God Himself. The reward spoken of is not earthly. Is it? It's not earthly. Now, there are a lot of people that profess to have faith. And if you see them on TV, especially the preachers, they're the ones that are there preaching to these people. You hear it on the radio, wherever. And these people are preaching of faith. And I hope I can... You turn, be turning to Philippians, because that's where we're going to look at the proof of what I have to say. But Philippians chapter 3. You have people who profess to have faith, and their faith is so that everything in life will in some way be a little bit better.
Yeah.
They see that faith is all about making this life better. Now granted, they believe in something far better to come, but they believe that faith will somehow make things better. Faith brings families together. Maybe. Maybe not.
Exactly.
Right? And Earl and I talked about this, not in detail, but see, here's some striking things in Scripture. People don't want to deal with them. The Philippian jailer said, "What must such said, sirs?" It was Paul and Silas, wasn't it? "What must I do to be saved?"
Yeah.
Paul told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And as Earl said, we, even me at one time probably added this in. Well, that means if they believe, they'll be saved. Is that what it says?
No.
It don't say that, does it? So it's wrong for us to add that in as some qualification, right? So there's something there to that.
Yeah.
But we also read our Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I'm not come to bring peace, but a sword." And a man's enemies will be those of his own household.
Exactly.
So see, go figure.
Yeah.
In other words, God is not ever going to let us know, here's exactly how I work in every situation and in every case.
Exactly.
because it boils down to being salvation by grace through faith. It's God's business. The only proof of who is really God's is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's already been written down. That's what the book says, Revelation 13. That book's already been written down. Names are already there. It is said to be the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And God ain't going to open that book until later on. Right now, we must walk and can only walk by what? Faith. Faith. But I need proof. You ain't going to get it. It just ain't going to happen. I can't prove to you I'm saved. Now somebody said, but you're up there preaching the truth. You mean you believe the truth? You testify the truth? But I read of others that preach the truth, and Christ said, I never knew you.
That's right.
I read of Simon the sorcerer having a Christian conversion experience.
Oh, yeah.
And his heart still wasn't right in the sight of God.
Exactly.
You see, that kind of leaves us dangling in a sense, don't it? You know what it does? If you are one of God's, it forces you to trust God.
Exactly.
He will do right.
Amen.
Because you're brought, ultimately, you're brought to know one of these things, one thing, this, a couple things, but this is one of them. If I go to hell, I deserve it.
That's it. Yes, sir.
And while I don't, I mean, even the thought, David, frightens me. I don't even like to think about it. I don't sit and dwell on it. I cannot. It's too frightening. But I have to say, like Henry Mahan said to this one fellow, he said, you know, I've thought about it. And he said, I don't know for sure exactly what I'd say, but I've thought about it. And I stand before God, and he tells me, well, and whatever his name was, he said, well, you're just not one of mine. You're not entering in. You're going to judgment. And he said, I don't know, but he said, I think I'd say to him, Lord, that's all right. I deserve that. But I sure would like to be one of yours.
Yeah.
Now, you know something? That's a good place to be right now.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
No, Lord, I deserve judgment. I deserve condemnation. And I know that the only people who will be brought out from under, or have been brought out from under that, is your people. Those for whom Christ has died. And Lord, if I'm not one, that's your business.
Yeah.
But I want to be one.
Exactly.
I want to be one. Ain't it amazing? I don't know of anyone here that maybe is this way, but there are people who would almost seem to give life and limb a reputation to join certain clubs, right?
Yeah.
Pay great sums of money to join certain clubs, and yet to be one of the elect of God is a blessing and a privilege far beyond what the human mind can ever even imagine.
Yes, sir.
And then some people turn around and scoff at it. They mock election as though it's some bad thing. Election's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
If God hadn't chose to save at least one, you know how many have been saved? None.
Exactly.
But God has chosen a group of people out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation.
Amen.
He has redeemed them to God by His blood,
yes.
And they shall reign on the earth. That's what the book says. The reward, again, I say, spoken of here is not earthly. Here's why. Paul writes of some writing to the Philippians, Philippians 3, verse 17. He said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. Now look, they walk. These people he's warning them about, they have a walk.
Yes, sir.
Okay? We're not talking about irreligious people.
Yeah.
But look, at they walk. You mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
You see, the message of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved His people. That is not the gospel that's being preached today.
That's it.
The message, or the gospel, which Paul says it's not the gospel, it's another gospel. It's a perversion. The message they're preaching today is Christ did die on a cross, and you can be saved if.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what the majority of people's preaching?
Oh, yeah.
No, the preaching of the Word. What the Word says is that Jesus Christ, when He died, He purged our sins. And having purged our sins, according to Hebrews chapter 1, He then ascended to the right hand of God the Father.
Yes, sir.
So when were my sins purged?
Yeah.
Most people say, well, when you came forward. When you prayed the prayer. When you were converted. No, my sins were purged some 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, well, when were you justified before God? This so-called Christian world cries out, well, you were justified by faith. And you cannot find that in this book. You can find justification by faith, but you cannot find justification before God by faith.
Amen.
According to what the Apostle Paul wrote, and let me just read it because I don't want to misquote this one. This is marvelous if you're one of these people that's talking about. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength.
Yes.
Now this is not physical strength. It has nothing to do with your physical stamina, your age, or anything. It's talking about spiritual strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
For when we were yet without. Now what's that? How much strength do we have?
None.
It doesn't say when we were very weak. At best, that's what free will lets you have.
Yeah.
Right? Very weak. This doesn't say we were very weak. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
And you know what? I stand before you this morning an ungodly man.
Absolutely.
I am not in myself. I am not a godly man. Somebody said, well, God saved you. Yeah, God saved me, but I'm still an ungodly man.
Yeah.
And you follow me around long enough, you'll find that out. And some folks have been wanting to tell that out, and I wish they'd just keep quiet. Let me tell it, and God tell it, not them. I'm being silly. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more then, being now justified, how? By His blood.
Amen.
Not by faith, you see, but being justified by His blood. And somebody says, well, and I've heard it, well, that's when a person believes and the blood is applied. Find that in the book. He shed His blood once forever. That's what Hebrews says, right? Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were, what?
Yeah.
Enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
Amen.
You see, in other words, Paul is saying that every person for whom Christ shed His blood, they will be saved. That's what he wrote right there.
Amen.
And people refuse to believe it.
Yeah, you're right.
They refuse. They come up with all these other ideas and gospels and messages.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why is it that man does this? Is it because they have a better message? Is a better message, well, God will save you if you'll do this or do that? It is if you think you have some strength.
Yeah.
Huh? It is if you want some little part in God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
It is if you want God somehow to not be all glorious and give you some.
Mm-hmm.
No, but when God's shown you you're yet without strength, I'm glad to know that when Christ shed His blood on that cross some 2,000 years ago, He justified me.
Amen.
And when He died, I was reconciled.
Yes, sir.
And men can say what they want. While I was personally born lost, I also in God's sight was born saved.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say that. While I was born personally unjust before God,
oh,
personally. In Jesus Christ, I was born justified.
Yes, sir.
And while I, as an enemy of God, when I was born, and I manifested, well, it didn't take long.
Yeah.
And while I, as an enemy of God, hated God with everything that I was. And the proof of it wasn't all my immoral bad deeds. The proof of it is that when God sent someone to me with His gospel, with this gospel, I said, that cannot be who God is.
Exactly.
Scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he what?
He
is. Right? And yet, while I was saying that, Earl, even though I was in that state of enmity against God, God would not let me go. And you're saying, God made you believe this? You bless your bottom dollar He made me believe this. Because I refused to with all I was to start with. I remember passing a low church building going down towards Hinton. What is it? What is it, 12? What is that? Runs through Athens and down that way? Whatever route that is, it doesn't matter. I'm 20, and I remember delivering, going down through to Hinton and delivering back in that way, and I pass this one little old church building on the left before you get to the bridge of Bluestone Lake. And I don't remember, it was Primitive Baptist Church, Greenbrier Primitive Baptist Church. And I remember driving by there on several occasions and looking over there at that building, either coming or going, and thinking, what a poor, pitiful little old place. I wonder who preaches in a place like that. That's right. And I mean, this was mocking.
Uh-huh.
And you know, guess who ended up preaching in a place like that?
Yeah,
I ended up in that building. Same one.
Yeah.
You see, God will turn the tides on you.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I'm glad He did.
Amen.
I'd much rather be in that little place than where I was at that time. No, salvation is by grace through faith. God gave it to me even though I didn't want it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, I don't agree with the one fellow that somebody said, well, you people preach God saves people against their will. No, I believe God gives them the will to desire it.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 110 prophesies.
Uh-huh.
It's what it says. It's a prophecy.
Yes.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'll just wait. That's all, you go right ahead.
Yeah.
Go on. Just wait. Of course, Scripture does say they that wait upon the Lord. It's not the same kind of waiting, though, is it?
I don't think so.
Not the same kind of waiting. Somebody said, well, I'll just wait. Well, you go ahead and wait. And if you're one of God's, one of these days He'll rock your world.
Yes, sir.
He will. He'll turn your world upside down. These preachers out here telling you that when you get faith, everything's going to be better. I'm here to warn you, when you get faith, it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
You'll have enemies you never thought you had before.
Yes, sir.
There'll be people in your own family that you would have thought would have hated this. They'll end up loving it like you do. But then there'll be family members you thought might have liked this. They'll be the ones to hate it.
Yeah.
You may go to work and try to in some way express these things, and you may find out you've got a boss that's a little bit sympathetic to you because he's had people dislike him because of things he's believed. Then you might find a boss that hates your guts and just soon get rid of you.
Yes, sir.
You see, when God gives you faith, He puts you in a battle.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what the book teaches?
That's right.
He
yes,
puts
sir.
You in a battle. And your battle won't be against flesh and blood.
Nope.
It will be against demonic forces. That don't scare anybody here, does it? That's right. Somebody say, you believe in demonic forces? No, it doesn't matter whether I believe in them. The book says they are.
Yes.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But the book says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness in high places.
Right.
You see, Christ was and is the object of faith described in Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's so much so, it's like this, that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that we have seen the glory of God shine in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here's the amazing thing. I've seen it happen here. People come up, oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, I need to be saved. That may be good. Right? I've seen people do that. And then after a while, leave.
Yeah.
Hating the gospel of Christ. Yeah. But when a person begins to see who Christ is, you can't ever let that go. Once God gives you a sight of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it'll never, ever depart from you. You can't get away from it.
That's it.
You see, when a person tells me I'm a sinner, I need help, that gives me some hope for them.
Yes, sir.
Right? It does. And it's a good thing. But sometimes that don't last.
Yeah.
Or a person says, well, you know, I deserve judgment. I deserve condemnation. And it gives, you know, a little light of hope comes up, Mason. That's a good thing. But I've seen that happen, and it not last. But I'm yet to find a person that really becomes engaged in finding out who is God in Christ, that it doesn't affect the rest of their life for the rest of their life. I've seen a lot of people want to get saved so they don't have to go to hell, but very few get saved so they can know who God is.
Yes, sir.
The Scripture says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God first of all must what? Believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As Paul said, if these enemies of the cross of Christ, the next verse, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind what?
Earthly
things.
Amen.
But now let me just read this chapter. I'll just make a couple comments about it, and I'll end with that. This is this chapter. Here's the context of this. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now we know why he says rejoice in the Lord. If you've tasted grace, you can say with Paul, I know why we can rejoice in the Lord. He said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is what? Safe.
Yeah.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I'm going to tell you what. The Apostle Paul did not give one spit in the wind about political correctness. Beware of who? Dogs.
That's right.
He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more.
Yeah.
In other words, Paul said, you want to boast in what you had naturally.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you what I had naturally. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you, even of us Gentiles has been circumcised today simply because they do it, because that's what they do. Wasn't even done on the eighth day, was it?
No.
The law says to do it when? On the eighth day. Not the seventh, Mason. Not the ninth. But the eighth day after birth. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Amen.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
Now see, the whole consuming passion of his life was not just to get to heaven.
Exactly.
But is first and primarily to know Christ.
Yeah.
Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And folks, bless God, that's a good place to be.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
Reject your own righteousness. Now, it may be there. You may have some before men. It may be there, Mason. You may have some goodness about you as other men see you. But when it comes to knowing God, to being accepted of God, to being justified before God, to being reconciled before God, you count these things as dung. They're nothing. Found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through, now I want you to notice this phrase, but that which is through the faith of Christ.
Amen.
You see, I'm not even depending on my faith.
Exactly. That's
I'm depending on His faith.
Amen.
That's what that says.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, but that which is through my faith. He doesn't even say that, does he? He doesn't even say, through the faith God gave me. He doesn't say that. No, which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen.
That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Now this word, think about it, apprehend. We use that word sometimes today, of catching a suspect, don't we? What it is, catching a criminal. Now Paul says, I want to what? I want to apprehend that for which I also am what? Apprehended. And you think, here is Saul of Tarsus, a Christ hater.
Yes, sir.
Right? He is a Christ hater.
Yes, sir.
And he's on the road to Damascus with papers in his pocket to arrest people who profess this Christ and put them in jail.
Yes, sir.
He's not under conviction, as we generally think of it. You know, he's not there holding the pews during just as I am and saying, I won't give in.
Yeah.
No, he's riding his horse with papers to arrest Christians.
That's right.
And you know what? Christ comes down and saves him.
Yes, sir.
Despite of who he is. Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Preaching.
Yeah. He apprehended him.
Yes,
arrested him. Said, whoa. You've went so far, I've purposed you go no further in this state, and he did.
That's it.
Right? I'm here to announce this morning, if you're one of God's, one of these days he'll apprehend you.
Amen.
That's right, he'll have you.
Yeah,
well, I know all these other people out here, they say, well, just let God have his way. No, go ahead and try to let him have his way. He will have his way.
Amen.
Scripture says none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, you know who said that?
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar. A guy who said, I will have my way.
Yeah.
I am great. I'm a great king.
Yes, sir.
I rule all of Babylon. You know what? God brought him down.
Yes, sir.
You know what he said? I bless and extol.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes, sir.
God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
So once God brought him down, he knows God will bring you down.
Yes, sir.
See, that's why we're not out there, oh, please give your heart to Jesus. Well, he don't want your heart. He didn't want mine. My heart's wicked, hateful against God. What he does is gives a new heart.
Amen.
And look at Saul of Tarsus. Here's one who once hated Christ. Now his whole life is about what? Knowing Christ.
Amen.
Right? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now notice, you can be perfect and still not have attained.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
That's what he says. Mm-hmm. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, well, I hope you straighten yourselves out. Better read the Bible more. Better pray more. Is that what he said? No, God shall reveal even this to you.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yes, sir.
Nevertheless, whereunto have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Now you watch these other people. See, we've already read that. That's why I'm saying. You watch these other folks.
Yeah.
Why? Their end is destruction. Their God's their belly. Their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. But our way of life, that's what he said, our conversation is in heaven. from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Amen.
Now, didn't that what that just said? Yeah. If he can subdue all things, that means if he wants to, he'll subdue you.
Yes, sir.
I know that in two ways. Two ways I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. One, this book says it.
Yes, sir.
And two, I know he subdued me.
Yeah, that's it.
And I know I was pretty close up there to where Paul was. Not quite where he was. I mean, I wasn't wanting to kill Christians. But there was one come along one day and called himself a Christian. Well, he didn't really even call himself a Christian. He didn't call himself anything. He just happened to show up one day. The providence was there. Here come a person along and begin to tell me that God will do what he's well pleased to do.
Sir.
And I hated that. Ellen and I hated that more. It was against everything I'd ever preached. Everything I'd ever stood for. Everything I'd ever been taught. Earl, it mocked my who I was, who my family was, and all my upbringing. Because I was taught that's not true. And you know what? God did it anyway. He subdued me. So there's two reasons why I know that's true. As the one, I don't know if I'm going to get this exactly right, Earl, but I think Earl said one time he's talking to a lady and she said, well, I've done lost it now, Earl. Talking about becoming a Christian, and she said, I've done lost it. Maybe one of these days I'll become one.
Yeah.
And I think she was told, well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. See, people don't talk like that,
yeah.
Do they? Somebody said, well, the people in the Bible don't talk like that. Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, when Simon Peter met up with Simon Magnus,
oh, yes,
who had believed and baptized and joined the church, that's what he'd done. And he did what everybody else had been doing. And then when he wanted to buy the power to give the gift of the Holy Ghost, Peter told him, you've got neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart's not right in the sight of God. You know what he told him? Pray God if perhaps he'll forgive the thought and intent of thy heart. If perhaps. He may not. That's what you mean when you say, if perhaps. Right? See, they said it like that way too. The only people who say it that way is those who love the truth. And let me tell you, and who care about people's souls. We don't want people just to make a decision and have a good feeling, and then feel all right.
Yeah.
We want God to lay hold of sinners and subdue them.
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray for us all here, but us especially those who lost a loved one. Lord, there's many things to deal with, the agony of the heart, the mind, the conscience, the dreams. Lord, it all. Pray that you comfort, direct, and guide. And Lord, may we be mindful of one another. May it be that as we leave this place, it's not just a place that's been good to be, but it calls us to think about one another during the week, to pray for one another, and to encourage one another in Christ, for asking in his name.